Boy, what a weekend of baseball. Great day yesterday at the park, the celebration of the 2012 World Championship team. A couple of wins over the Pirates. The sprint is on to the finish line, and this is a good time to be a baseball fan. Giants lineup is out. It is Wade, Jock Peterson, Flores, Belt, Yaz, Estrada, Crawford, LaStella, and Bart in there today. So that is the lineup against Zach Thompson. All right, Nick Pecoro joins us from the Arizona Republic. Nick, how are you?
Hey, Marty, I'm good. How are you?
Very, very well, and looking forward to the Diamondbacks coming in tomorrow for four. You know, the Giants and Diamondbacks have 10 games left together, and this is not going to be simple for the Giants. The Diamondbacks have handled the Giants pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, a far cry from last year when I think the Giants went, 17-2 against the Diamondbacks last season. I feel like a lot of it's timing this year, right? I mean, I think the Diamondbacks didn't play the Giants at all early and kind of ran into them right when they were really kind of struggling to you know, play consistently. They were kind of a sloppy team the times I've seen them in Arizona this year.
Well, the pitching, and I've watched a number of Diamondback games, you know that. The pitching is solid for the Diamondbacks, and the Giants are going to see Bumgarner. They're going to see Merrill Kelly, who always gives them trouble. Zach Davies, you'll tell me more about him. And then Zach Gallen, probably in the fourth game. So what about those starters?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and look, it's no secret. I mean, you look around the league and look at the teams that are winning, it's almost always – you know, consistent starting pitching. And this team, this Diamondbacks team was so bad last year. They had a period of time where they were 5-45, as crazy as that sounds. But that was a stretch when they had, for a lot of it, they had 4/5 of their starting rotation on the injured list. These guys are healthy. They're pitching better. Gallen especially is kind of looking like the guy that we saw at times in 2020 that was a Cy Young candidate. You know, Bumgarner's decent. He's kind of an innings eating type of guy at this point, it seems like, where occasionally he can throw out those really good starts, but is more of the guy you just kind of count on to go 5-6 innings every time. Merrill Kelly's been terrific. You know, he's got a real good mix of pitches. He can rely on his you know, really his strike throwing, his fastball, curveball, changeup. He's got a cutter he likes. He's got it all. And Zach Davies is a guy that's you know, just got back from the injured list. And I think he's kind of a guy that I look at as kind of a big difference between last year's team and this year's team. Instead of having to run out some of the guys that they were running out there that they were, you know, really just hoping could you know, keep them in a game. Davies has been a pretty safe bet to keep them in games. It's nothing spectacular, but, you know, you've seen him for years. He's just a guy that doesn't have electric stuff, but still just tacks hitters and pitches into the middle innings almost every time.
Yeah, somehow he gets it done. Zach Davies, Kyle Hendricks, you know, they're teammates at the Cubs. And, no, I remember them both very well. Nick Pecoro joins us this morning. Nick, of course, covers the Diamondbacks for the Arizona Republic. Were you surprised that the Diamondbacks didn't make more moves at the trade deadline? I know Peralta was one.
Yeah, Peralta was one. Luke Weaver was the other. They sent him to Kansas City for a guy, Emmanuel Rivera, who's been terrific so far for them. You know, really swinging the bat well so far. He's a corner bat. But yeah, I mean, I guess I was a little surprised. They've kind of found themselves in a tough spot. I mean, I feel like Christian Walker was a guy that they got some calls on, had some interest in. And that kind of left them with a tough decision to make because he swung the bat really well. He's hit for a lot of power. If you look at his, you know, kind of some of the batted ball data, he should be hitting higher than he is. I think he's hitting somewhere around 215. But his exit velocities and all that stuff suggest that he should be hitting, you know, 30, 40, 50 points higher. They have a couple years of control on him left, though, and they want to put a contending team out there. You know, I don't think that they're fooling themselves and thinking they're as good as the Dodgers or the Padres or you know, those clubs. But, you know, they don't want to put an embarrassing product out there like they did last year. And by, you know, trading Christian Walker, it would have created a hole and they would have had to find a way to fill it. And, you know, it's just one less thing to have to check off the list heading into the offseason. So they must not have got the kind of offers that kind of compelled them to, you know, be willing to create that kind of hole. And I think that was kind of the thinking for other spots on the roster as well, that, you know, they're trying to build from within. They're trying to build a contending team with their farm system. They have a lot of guys that are already starting to get up here. They have more coming. And I just don't think they want to put themselves in a position where they're kind of, you know, entering into a losing culture. You know, they don't want these players coming up into a bad atmosphere. So mm-hmm. having some of these veterans, I think helps them kind of bridge that gap.
Boy, they've had such bad luck with first-round picks. Look, they got Andrew Jones's kid, and he, all of a sudden he's taking batting practice and his shoulder hurts. Next thing you know, he's having surgery, and he's out for a while. What about that?
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah, last year, in May, Corbin Carroll, who was their top pick in 2019, hits a home run in a game in A-ball and blows out his shoulder on that exact swing. He needs surgery to repair his labrum, and he's got capsule damage as well. Well, a few months later, they draft Jordan Lawler, a high school infielder. He goes out and in his second game hurts his shoulder. He also has a labrum issue. He needs surgery. And then this year they draft Drew Jones. He signs, they give him a bonus for $8 million. He comes out to Chase Field, takes batting practice with the big leaguers, looks really good. You know, hitting balls 10 rows up in left center field. I mean, it was a good little display. 2 days later, he goes out to Salt River Field and starts taking batting practice with his new teammates out there and takes a swing and feels something. Takes another swing and is like, okay, I gotta get out of here and get this looked at. And he has a labrum issue. It's just, it's bizarre. Now, I mean, I think the thing that gives them some reassurance, I guess, is the first two guys had their surgeries, came back and looked like, you know, I mean, you look at the prospect list. Corbin Carroll is number one on some of them in all of baseball. And Jordan Lawler is in the, you know, 10s, 20s on these lists. Like, these are guys that have come back and hit their stride. And it seems like this issue for Drew Jones is very similar to the one that Lawler had. So it's just the labrum, not the capsule. So they have a lot of experience in this at this point. So they can say with some confidence that it's going to be fine, but it's just, it's weird, man. I don't know what to say about it.
Well, let's see. They're all draft picks. They all eventually get to the Diamondbacks. They're all housed somewhere. What about the mattresses? Have they checked the mattresses yet? There's got to be some reason here.
I know. It's so strange. They're like, they've looked at them and they're like, yeah, I think the explanation is that there is no explanation. They have no idea what to say.
All right, this sounds like a case for Steve Gilbert to take care of here.
I agree.
Boy, Steve, of course, writes for MLB.com. We love him, and he covers the Diamondbacks. But it's still a game of bullpens, and the Giants handled Mantiply fairly well. He had trouble with the Giants. But what does the bullpen structure look like as we'll get ready for these four games here?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit in flux for the Diamondbacks. After the series, like right after the trade deadline, we got back and they decided they were going to move Melanson, who you guys are all very familiar with, out of the closer's role. Now he's still kind of sharing it, I guess. It's more of a closer by committee. He's gotten a couple of chances to pitch the ninth still and has done fine. But Ian Kennedy has been in the mix, and I don't think Mantiply has gotten a save chance since that happened. I could be mistaken. But he is said to be in the mix if the right, you know, lineup opportunities present himself. They would use him in the ninth as well. So those are the guys. I think the problem with Melanson, the reason they kind of didn't want to lock themselves into him in that role, is because he is having trouble getting swings and misses right now. And, you know, the rule change has not worked out well for him, where you start an extra inning game with a runner on second base, and that's a spot where you really need that strikeout, and he hasn't been able to get it. And so next thing you know, he's got a runner on third, the infield's in with one out, they shoot a base hit through, and it just leads to more problems. So Yeah, they're kind of playing around with it like that. Melanson hasn't thrown that bad. It's not like he's given up a ton of home runs, but he hasn't thrown well either. So they're trying to feel their way through it at the moment.
Mm. That's why the Giants can't use Rodgers in the 10th inning, because he doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, and that the Manfred runner can get around on a couple of outs, and it's very dangerous in that 10th inning. You need someone who can strike people out. Very quickly, we have another minute to go or so. Alec Thomas in center field, Rojas the infielder. These are good young players. They're aggressive players. I like that.
Yeah, they are. Thomas is kind of going through, it seems like, his first real, like, struggling stretch at the plate. It'll be interesting to see how he adjusts. He is a really exciting player, though. I mean, he can make things happen when he gets on base. Defensively, he's terrific. I mean, he just gets such good jumps, makes plays that you don't think are going to be, you think they're hits off the bat, and he kind of makes these plays, you know, pulling up almost, like just cruises to him. Rojas is kind of coming into his own. I feel like he's not as impressive from like a, you know, skills or explosiveness perspective, but he's just a really smart player. He just really knows the game. I feel like there's times when he's like, he just is so in the pitcher's head. Either he's anticipating what he's about to get, or he's, stealing bases or getting huge jumps. He got a huge jump on Marquez last week against the Rockies, forced him into a balk. Also against the Rockies, he stole a base on a delayed steal. He just does these things every series. It feels like where you're like, wow, I can't believe he just pulled that off, or he's just so locked in on the game. He's a really heady player. But yeah, they've got some good young players. Those are two of them. Varsho's another. It's sort of starting to come together a little bit. They've still got a ways to go, but they've got some kind of building blocks, it seems like.
Well, they're not last year's Diamondbacks, I'll tell you that. Nick, it's great to see you always, and have a safe trip up, and this will be a good series. I appreciate you being on.
No problem, Marty. See you tomorrow.
A pleasure. All right, that is Nick Pecoro, Arizona Republic. All right, Bill is next with Adam Copeland. Bill's got the talk back today, and I'll be back with you next Saturday for more of our pregame show. All right, stay tuned. More coming up.